Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott back again for another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, we have a fun little game to preview and look forward to and discuss. Clemson team that certainly submitted themselves as kind of the class of the conference, and this was always going to be a real challenging game, regardless of what point that you previewed or looked at it in the season. Obviously, none of the things that have played out or transpired over the course of the season are going to give you a whole lot of additional confidence, but one of the best rosters Florida State will see all year, and just interesting to go over and get an idea as to how Saturday might end up playing out.
Yeah, man, let's do that for sure. First, let's thank our sponsor, Louisiana Hot Sauce. Louisiana Hot Sauce, what a cool sponsor for a hot, you know, for a podcast with such awesome hot takes such as ours. And I mean, they're just consistent. We deliver, they deliver. Actually, I mean, they don't deliver to your house. You got to go get it at the grocery store, but then you can deliver it to your food. It's three simple ingredients, and it's great. So Louisiana Hot Sauce, and hopefully Clemson does not light Florida State up like you can do to your food with Louisiana Hot Sauce.
Hopefully. I have a feeling they probably won't. It's we'll just slide right into this. Clemson's offense still has the incredibly impressive roster, still has some pieces on it that are impressive, but it has not necessarily been like the explosive dynamic offense that maybe you immediately associate with what they have on that side of the ball.
You know, Ingram, I feel like this was in some ways predictable, right? Like, they happened to lose the best quarterback in program history, and we are experts on losing the best program in quarterback history because we just covered the last 3 years post-Jameis. But it's also, I think, important to note that they've not just fallen off the cliff. You know, this is still a good offense. It's one of the best offenses that Florida State has seen this year, certainly. I mean, Louisville was better. I think Alabama was better. But other than that, I mean, it's probably the best other than those two. This is where, though, Florida State has to win the game. We'll talk about Florida State's offense in a minute, and that's kind of where Florida State has to avoid losing the game. Mm-hmm. But if Florida State's going to win this game, and look, I don't give them a good shot to win it, but I can't tell you that there's no shot to win. I don't think they're going to win, but I'm not going to lie to you. But if they pull it off, kind of remember the OJ book, you know, if it happens, here's how it happened type thing or whatever.
If I did it, yes.
Right, if I did it, yeah. If it happens, here's how it needs to happen. This is kind of a strange Clemson offense. It's different than what you normally expect, right? They're not explosive. Have you seen this? I pulled this stat before the show. Check this out. 20-yard plus plays, so plays of 20 or more yards. Clemson has 39 of them in 9 games. Florida State has 34 in 8. So basically, Florida State is basically running about the same number of 20-plus yard plays per game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Florida State has faced a tougher schedule. You know, think about that, and think about how putrid Florida State's offense has been most of the time this year. The thing, though, Clemson does really well is that they stay ahead of the chains, right? They don't necessarily hit a bunch of home runs. They've had some really long runs. Like, they've had a couple 70-yarders and whatnot. But as far as, like, 20-plus yard plays, so chunk plays, they don't hit many of them. No, not many, especially not when you consider the pace of their offense. But they do a really good job of staying ahead of the chains. And one of the ways that they do that is with quarterback Kelly Bryant.
Bryant's been impressive this year. I mean, again, anytime you view a kid after watching, you know, one of the more transcendent college football players in the past decade, it's not going to be the easiest transition. I thought his level of play has fallen off a little bit. He's dealt with injuries. I'm not sure he's 100% healthy coming into this game either, but kid's played well for what you could expect or what you would think somebody following in the shoe steps of Deshaun Watson would do, but Clemson, I think, is pretty content with what they've had from him so far. Really good runner when he wants to be, but I've been impressed by his decision-making. Doesn't necessarily force a lot of things, comfortable with his offensive line in front of him, and all things considered, I think he's had a pretty successful year so far.
The thing is, like, is he going to be a great NFL-type quarterback? No, but he's a really good runner. You know, he's actually Clemson's leading rusher on the year. You know, to me, he keeps them ahead of the chains because he's always picking up 3, 4, or 5. You know, they run him a lot on designs, and he's pretty quick to scramble, and that keeps him ahead of the chains. That sets up Clemson for 2nd and 7 and, you know, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 3 type situations, and that helps keep them out of that disastrous turnover, assuming he's healthy. Now, there are ways you can limit him, right? Check this out. Passing, here's their passing things. Passing efficiency, so their success rate, 28th. Passing explosiveness, 125th. That's a huge split, man. I mean, that's drastic. you kind of got to take away the easy throws from Kelly Bryant, and then you got to challenge him down the field and say, okay, we know Clemson has some good receivers. We'll talk about those guys in a minute. But if you're going to win, don't die of 1,000 paper cuts. Mm-hmm. Make Clemson hit the big plays on you. And I think that's something that Florida State may be able to have some success doing. This is going to be the best defensive line, I think, that Clemson has faced. They should be able to limit them a little bit with the quarterback run game stuff, assuming they can get lined up and handle Clemson's tempo. And Clemson does like to go tempo. And I would certainly go tempo against Florida State because Florida State does not simulate it very well in practice, despite all the nonsense about, you know, running two scout team offenses and stuff. They don't get ready for it very well. Probably because it's not really a fundamental tenet of their own offense, you know, so it's hard to simulate something you just don't ever do.
Hmm. So, like, maybe practicing the zone read might be difficult.
Sure, exactly right. Especially if it's something you don't run very well yourself, it's hard to rep at a high level on the scout team. But if you can limit Kelly Bryant's success underneath, then I think you're going to have a shot to suppress Clemson's scoring. Here's a stat for you. On passes of 15-plus yards this year, he's 16 of 42. Now, look, I'm not expecting a guy to throw 80%, you know, 15 yards down the field. But 16 of 42 is pretty bad. That's like, what, 36, 37%? That's really not very good. I mean, I figure, given all the one-on-one matchups Clemson oftentimes gets because of the fact that they run the ball well, he should probably be more around the 50% range. And it's a small sample I get, but that's still an area that you have to challenge him. He would think he was 0 for 6 or 0 for 7 on throws of 15-plus against NC State last week, a game that Clemson, quite honestly, got quite a few breaks in to win, mm-hmm. and NC State played them very well. That's a tough place to play, by the way. You know, Bryant, to me, is a guy. I think Clemson's staff deserves a lot of credit for them being where they are with him. You know, this is a guy that, like, if he was at Florida State, I'm sure Florida State would have more losses than Clemson would, because I don't think Florida State would adapt their scheme to him, right? They would try to fit him into their own scheme, and his strengths are really as a runner. And Florida State doesn't run their guy very much, and it's a lot easier to find a runner than a passer coming out of the high school ranks. They do a good job with him. I mean, they run behind a very good offensive line. Mitch Hyatt, their left tackle, is a star, and we knew he was a star coming out of high school, and they beat out Georgia and Alabama for him, I think, down the stretch. And they do a good job with the run game, man, and they got some young backs who are interesting.
I mean, look, Clemson's got a great roster in general, so you're going to be able to look at just about anywhere and find a lot of talent. They've got, I mean, the one kid, has the Cajun last name that just slipped my mind?
Etienne.
The running back? Etienne, thank you. That kid looks ridiculous. I mean, particularly after the first two or three games of the year, he was making angles disappear on defenders that you didn't think was possible. Just impressive. Now, we certainly have our own talented running backs and everything else, but Clemson's has a lot. A very deep wide receiver core that we've mentioned before. Hyatt, you're right, significant piece on the line that people are familiar with, in large part because he was deemed by some services to be the top offensive lineman or top tackle in the country coming out of high school. I know Clemson people, some of their coaching staff, think the world of their right guard, Tyron Crowder. Really, really good player. Excited to see that matchup with either Naughty or Christmas or whoever it is that he ends up getting lined up with. So a lot of interesting pieces. But look, Clemson's got one of the, you know, three or four best rosters in football, and regardless of where you look, you're going to be pretty impressed with what they have to deploy.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, Taven Feaster is their normal guy, but Etienne hits some home runs for them. You got to stop the run. You really have to sell out and stop the run against them. And then, look, if they beat you with a deep pass, you kind of tip your cap, all right? That's fine. If Clemson's able to do that, okay, cool. You know, it happens. But if they can't, then you have a chance to be in this game somewhat, at least. At receiver, they have Deion Kane, who is a product of Lawrence Dossey being Florida State's receiver coach and Tampa area recruiter. And that's just kind of the kiss of death there, because he's not a very good recruiter and he recruits the Tampa area. And Jeff Scott eats his lunch on the recruiting trail. So Deion Kane is at Clemson, and Deion Kane is an awesome receiver and one of the best in the ACC. And he's the guy that they'll go to a lot. The other guy they like to go to, who is the guy who caught the national championship touchdown, who is not as good of a player as Kane, but if the defense, you know, ignores him, he is very much capable of getting open, especially in man-on-man coverage in the open field with, and that's Hunter Renfro. That's a matchup that I don't like a lot for Florida State, to be honest. I think McFadden on Kane will be a battle, but they're going to try to get Renfro singled up on Kyle Myers a lot in the slot. And that's a matchup that I think Renfro, who's a better player than Myers is, will probably win more often than not here. But after that, though, Ingram, I got to tell you, they don't have a lot of established guys after the first two. And since they run a spread, they do rotate a lot of guys at spots 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, a lot of rotation. Renfro, it looks more like he'd be like the second or third option on your fraternity, like intramural team. Still blown away that that guy's as good of a player as he is. Obviously has had some pretty important moments in some of the more critical games of the college football season over the past couple years. But you're right. Clemson people will tell you that it's not like they're disappointed with the wide receivers, but there's not the leadership that's been there and maybe not the production either after those first two names that you mentioned. So a lot of young kids that they think may project as, you know, really influential people in the future. But that wide receiver group, at least right now, is not, again, there's no Nuke Hopkins. There's no Sammy Watkins. There's no just these all-world players that that you're going to have to necessarily worry about come Saturday.
The other part of that, too, I think, is Kelly Bryant. You know, he doesn't get the ball out on time as much, mm-hmm. right? And that's something that they're going to have to watch for. And I think that also shows up when you look at, like, their percentage of solo tackles forced, right? Like, how many of their plays end in a one-on-one tackle as opposed to, like, a gang tackle? It's not nearly as high as it used to be. So that's something to watch there for sure, because if you're late getting the ball out, more guys can rally to the football.
I really like Bud. I don't love it, but I like the way that Florida State's defense matches up with this offense, to be quite honest with you. It's a lot of pieces that they try to deploy. I think Florida State has the necessary tools to at least limit, and like you've mentioned, has the all the resources in the world to make them try to do what they don't want or aren't necessarily the best at. And this is something that you brought up earlier in the week, and it's a good point. The real question here is, are all these pieces that Florida State has, are they all moving in concert with each other? Are all the units aware as to what the other units are trying to do and want to do? I think if we knew that for sure, that you would actually feel pretty damn good about what Florida State's defense can potentially do come Saturday. All right, Bud, before we transition from one side of the ball to the other, probably a good place here to thank our friends at Madison Social. And man, hadn't been a whole lot to really look forward to and enjoy this year, but if you give me Saturday afternoon with the weather that we're supposed to have in Tallahassee,
What's the high?
I can't. What's the high? 71 on Saturday? Something like that?
And the low is 58?
Yeah. Man, that'll be...
So mid-60s weather.
Mid-60s.
On the patio.
On the patio.
At Mad So.
Drinks, boots, a lot of things going on. Fun time.
There's some things going on. Good way to put that. Yeah. Like great food and great service and great people and great drinks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not too many other places that that I'd rather watch a game and enjoy what there is to be consumed. So keep them in mind as always. Madison Social, Township, Centrale, all right there in the shadow. Doak Campbell Stadium, College Town, and then Soto we've talked about and continue to have friends and family comment about the level of product and what they've had there. So just four great options and four kind of different entities that complement each other very well and just a group that we're very fortunate to be able to continue to work with. Well, Bud, a lot to look at and a lot to wonder about, and ultimately we'll find out on Saturday. But if that was the feel good portion of the podcast, let's move to the part of it where, as you mentioned when we opened, when we talk about what Florida State's defense and can do to Clemson's offense, we can talk about the portion of the game where Florida State has a legitimate chance to at least put themselves in a place to win the game. If we want to move to the side of the ball or the part of the podcast where we talk about where Florida State could very easily lose the game, let's take a look at Clemson's defense matching up with Florida State's offense.
Yeah, that's more concerning. Last week we praised Jimbo Fisher for simplifying things as much as he could for James Blackman, and yet Florida State was still 1 of 13 on third downs. I mean, this is an offense that's ailing as far as health-wise and somewhat personnel-wise, youth-wise, and approach and teaching and coaching-wise. It's just not a good offense. Now, that doesn't mean they can't put up any points, but Clemson's defense is really damn good. It's the second-best defense Florida State's seen all year. Second only to Alabama, and you know that game you had DeAndre Francois, who's a better player at this point in their careers than Blackman is. You know, like you said, this is where if you're Florida State, you try not to lose the game. You have to win it on defense. You have to create some turnovers. You have to create some bad field position for Clemson. You have to give your offense. I think if you have a realistic shot to win this field, I think you're going to have to combination of defensive scores and drives that start in Clemson territory probably need to be like three or four. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't see Florida State having a lot of drives that start in their own end of the field and you know, actually scoring on Clemson touchdowns wise. I mean, of course, you can kick some field goals. And like we always say, field goals are the key to losing close. You know, if you want to make the loss a little bit less bad, look and kick some field goals. It won't help you win a lot of times. It actually decreases your win expectancy, but it'll keep the score closer, you know, if you care about what the media thinks about you, which, as we know, doesn't, but he does. I got to give Jimbo Fisher a lot of credit, though, here, in that he's consistently had a good game plan for Brent Venables and Brent Venables' defense. In fact, we went back and looked this up. Last year, nobody had more yards per play on Clemson than Florida State. In 2015, I think they had the second most, second to only Alabama. And then in 2014, I think they had the third or fourth most, and that was with Sean McGuire making the emergency start for Jameis, yelling that stuff in the student union. That, to me, evidences a pretty consistent, good game plan by Jimbo against Brent Venables offensively, especially considering the limited personnel Florida State has seemed to always have had against Clemson in the last couple of years.
Crazy how many times they've gotten our backup quarterback. It really is.
I mean, McGuire twice. They've faced, what, McGuire twice and then
149 pounds of Clint Trickett 1 year. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And then did they get Golson that year or did they get McGuire? I'm trying to think. That was 15. I think McGuire had replaced Golson by that time. I think that's all the more impressive. Now, this is definitely the most challenging set of offensive personnel Florida State has had to use against Clemson in Jimbo Fisher's time as the head coach. Now, certainly the 07 team was more lacking in personnel quite a bit. And that was wasn't it his first game as the OC or his first road game as the OC? You know, you had Rodney Hudson on that team, veteran net. It was like Rodney Hudson, Preston Parker, and not a whole lot else.
And then is the 09 the Lonnie Pryor wheel route game?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it is. Right.
So, yeah, that 07 team. Yeah, that was tough.
And that was so tough on 09 because you just knew the defense couldn't get a single stop. Mm-hmm. Like, they were not going to get any kind of stops. Let's just go over Clemson's personnel real quickly here. Their defensive line is incredible. It's the best defensive line Florida State's seen. It's the best defensive line in the country. And a little pat on our back for ourselves here when we said in the preseason that was the best defensive line in the ACC, not Florida State's, and people got mad about that. Remember that?
I do.
And that wasn't a knock on Florida State's defensive line, which we love, and has actually played at a high level this year.
Been the best unit on the team. It has. By far, yeah, the most consistent.
But Clemson is just a different level of defensive line. Like, Wilkins and Lawrence are just more special. You know, the defensive ends at Clemson are really nasty, too. I mean, you go Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, Cleveland Farrell, and Austin Bryant. Those are four guys up front, and I expect them to consistently win the one-on-one matchups against Florida State's offensive line all day, to be honest. Like, that's, you're going to have to double-team somebody, and maybe somebody isn't 100%. Obviously, Lawrence came out of the game for a decent bit against NC State. I don't know what his status is going to be. But that's a really nasty group, and that's probably going to be able to limit what you do offensively. And that's their game plan. They do that to everybody.
Wilkins and Lawrence are two of the best players in the country. And I think that you have to get your quarterback moving out of the pocket, expect to see some bootlegs and just things that make a lot of sense when you necessarily can't line up and block the people in front of you. So, like you said, really impressive group overall. Wilkins and Lawrence are the two that stand out. Austin Bryant, kid out of Thomasville, Georgia, is a really good player in his own right, and they're deep and have a pretty significant amount of rotation there as well, and they're also not doing anything but recruiting a bunch of ridiculous players to play along the line of scrimmage in the future as well. So this is what you're going to face when you play against Clemson moving forward, and it's I don't want to call it easy because it's not easy to go out and get really good running backs, and Florida State has proven recently that it may not be great to go out and get, or it may not be particularly easy to go out and get real good wide receivers. But if you want to see a team and a program that wants to play at the highest level and has plans to play at the highest level, look at what they do along the defensive line. And Clemson has continuously stacked some of the better players in the country in that unit and continues to do so this year. And like we said, it's an impressive roster all over the place, but this is as talented a line as a as you're going to see, certainly as talented a line as you're going to see in conference play.
And then behind them, they actually have some very good players at linebacker as well with, Dory McDaniel. Is it McDaniel or O'Daniel? O'Daniel, not McDaniel. I knew something looked wrong there. Anyway, he's got 54 tackles on the year, 9.5 tackles for loss, 5 sacks. The thing with Clemson is they are really aggressive, man. Like, they're aggressive with their front, but they also blitz a ton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they're a very heavy blitz team, and that's actually something that I do not expect to see as much on Saturday, right? And we'll get into why in a second. But they, so far on a year, they have done a really good job blitzing. They have a bunch of interceptions. They've had a good amount of turnover luck, certainly. But, you know, we'll see how much that lasts. And Florida State has had some really bad turnover luck, independent of playing poorly. The one thing we do see against this defensive front is that everybody tries to throw on them a lot on first down or on early downs, which makes sense because Clemson does load up against the run, and you've got to be able to throw the ball on early downs. That scares me because Florida State's not a good enough throwing team at this point in the career of James Blackman. And with all the injuries you have at receiver, to really threaten them a whole lot with the pass as they load up against the run. So if I'm Clemson, I'm loading up against the run against Cam Akers, and that's what I would do. Now, you're probably going to see a lot of the counter game that Florida State likes to run against Clemson. I think it screws us in our keys, especially because how fast flow they are to the football and any kind of run action. So that's something Florida State can maybe work on early downs. But this front seven is excellent, man. And it's just they got better players than Florida State does in those spots.
They do. Like you said, if there is a weakness, it's in the secondary. A lot of people have tried to throw against them in early down, as you mentioned. But a lot of times that you can, you can maybe get them to. I don't want to say that Florida State does anything that I would deem as eye candy, but you can just get them to react to things. Play action, in particular, is something that a lot of teams have tried to take advantage and maybe exploit their aggressive nature.
Right. Now that is something that because they fast flow so hard, you can hit some play action on them. For Florida State to win this game, I think they're going to need to have several big plays off early down play action, which means you got to get it blocked up, means you have to effectively sell it, and means your receiver's got to get open and win the one-on-one ball. You'd like that to be Auden Tate, but if he's not healthy enough to go, that's going to be tough. You know, Tate's questionable. Jonathan Vickers is questionable. Derek Kelly, I think, will play, but I'm not 100% certain on that. He got hurt in last week's game. This offense is just so beat up, man. This is why I say the defense really has to win this game for you. Because you mentioned, though, that the secondary is really banged up. You know, they're actually playing Ray McLeod, who's a senior receiver for them, as one of their corners right now. Like, that's pretty impressive. Now, they would be totally screwed if they didn't have the best front seven in America. But they do. So they're able to get away with some of that stuff. That's kind of the reason why I don't think they'll blitz as much this week, right? You're going to have to play a little bit more coverage and hope that your front seven can take care of some of the run game, as opposed to bringing the blitz and bringing the safety down in the box quite as much, just because I think you're going to want to try to protect that secondary at least early on until you see how James Blackman does. Question I was going to ask you, what's the best case scenario that you can see this offense scoring? You want me to refresh you how many points they've scored this year?
How many points Florida State has scored this year? No,
I'm
pretty familiar. I'm disturbingly familiar. Best case at 21 points is, I mean, I'm reaching to get there, but I don't see, honestly, 21 point, 3 touchdowns from this offense against that is in my opinion, bringing a pretty healthy dose of optimism to the conversation.
And to be clear, look, none of us are predicting that, right? And I agree with you. I think 21 is probably about all you can expect from this offense if everything goes right, which, look, I doubt it will. By saying that, if the best you think your offense can do is 21, I think that speaks to how good of a performance you need to get out of your defense. And if you had good defensive coaching, which you don't, I think you'd actually have some decent shot to get an awesome performance out of the defense. But the defensive coaching this year has not been good at all, which is why we're actually going to have a defensive coordinator candidate episode coming out next week. We submitted or requested submissions from y'all on what defensive coordinators you want to hear about, and we'll be talking to you about those this coming week, because we're probably not going to preview the Delaware State game tomorrow.
I was going to say, if anybody else has any off the beaten path suggested topics, next week's a great time, because there will be no Delaware State preview. I can promise you that much. At least none coming from my mouth.
Yeah, no, we may get like a 5-minute thing. I'll try to like find something on it, like at least tell you what kind of defense they run or something. But, this is tough. This is also like there's some soft factors here, right? Like I don't know if the coaches are checked out or not. Certainly some of these guys know they're going to be fired. Certainly some of them are already looking for jobs elsewhere. They're certainly not doing much recruiting right now. Good God. It's kind of all quiet on the Florida State recruiting front, unfortunately. This is also like the first hostile environment Florida State will be going into this year, man. This is tough. You know, I don't think Boston College was intimidating. And I don't think Duke or Wake were intimidating, to be honest. So I don't know how this offense in particular, I think the defense has been in this. How in the world is this offense going to play? I mean, are they going to crater? Or are they going to handle this well? It's hard for me to imagine them handling it all that well.
It's hard for me to imagine them doing all that well at all. And maybe I'm reaching here. Maybe I'm looking for something that's not there. But I do think that Blackman is a pretty controlled individual. But like, if you go back to the Louisville game, maybe that was a design run. Maybe I'm not sure if that was just a mental hiccup from him. The situation where you got bailed out a little bit with your knee on the ground last week. It just seems to be in major clutch situations that maybe he's still young enough where nerves get the most of him. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong about those two things, and it's just an unfortunate coincidence as far as the time that those things have taken place. But if nerves or if the atmosphere or the environment is going to get in somebody's way as far as playing at the highest level possible, then yeah, there's not too many places in the country that can be more disruptive to a kid than the place where Florida State's headed this Saturday.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Special teams-wise, look, Logan Tyler has actually punted better in recent weeks. Their punting efficiency for Florida State has been better. Clemson has some weaknesses here. This is not a good special teams. Actually, their special teams rating overall nationally by Bill Connelly is 122nd. Now, a lot of that is that their field goal kicking unit is just an absolute disaster, right? They are combined. They got two kickers, Alex Spence and Greg Heigl. I don't know if Spence was hurt or something. Anyway, none of them are good. They're 6 of 13 on the year in field goals. That'll hurt your feelings. Punting wise, their punt success rate's 115th nationally. Kickoff and punt return are fine. Kickoff return is surprisingly not that great. So on special teams, Clemson certainly has some weaknesses. Now, let me compare some of those numbers to you. Or for you to what Florida State has. God, I got to scroll a long way to find Florida State. This is depressing this year, man. And normally I hit like page down one time, and now I got to hit like 8 times. So Florida State special teams rating. Amazingly, they actually rate 27th nationally in the overall, which is kind of crazy. And the one thing here is that this does not account for special teams turnovers, you know. So that's clearly because they've had several.
Have they written into their algorithm how many yards you've lost by just letting punts bounce all over the places? No?
Yes, actually. That goes into your punt return success rate, okay. And Florida State is 89th in the nation.
That's honestly higher than I thought we would be.
Don't they have a block punt on the year? So I'm sure that helps their average some.
Well, and we blocked the kick last week. You know, I mean, we didn't want to get that field goal any chance to go in, so we jumped up, got a hand on that too. So that helps.
True. Yeah. So their kickoff success rate this year is actually elite. They're number 7 in the nation with that. So Logan Tyler's kicking kickoffs 70% touchbacks, and most of them are actually stopped inside the 25. The opponent does seem to come out as you might expect. Punt success rate, 89. Now, their punt, that's their punt return. Now, their punt success rate early in the year was really, really bad, if you recall. But in the last couple games, Tyler's actually been a little bit better, so they're going to need him to have a big game. They might need a special teams play, maybe from DJ Matthews or something on a return thing. But, yeah, man, they've got to win special teams, and they got to win defense because it's very hard for them to envision any scenario in which this offense gets the best of Clemson's defense.
But I think we've tried to do our best to cover that and give as good of an idea as to what we might see on Saturday. Feel comfortable moving to the predictions period of the Nolcast here?
Yeah, we can do that.
I've thought a decent amount about this, and you know, obviously I always want to find a way that Florida State can win the game or what has to happen. have a real hard time here, and it's not frequent that I pick against Florida State, but I'm just not sure I see them scoring enough to be competitive in this game. I think it may be a two-possession game, and then Clemson scores a touchdown at the end, but in my mind, I see something like 26-9, 28-9, somewhere in that area.
I think I'm right there with you, man. I'm going to go 31-13 Clemson, which I know is right on the old number. The thing is, this Clemson team, especially given that they're kind of beat up in the secondary, is absolutely beatable, but probably not by Florida State. Like, the matchup there with Florida State's offense and Clemson's defense is not one that you really see them. I'm not saying they can't exploit it, but it just doesn't seem all that likely. So most likely we'll be back here talking next week, and Florida State will be...
That would be 3-6.
Yeah, so 3-6, that could be bad, but they still likely to make a bowl. At least they're not underdogs on the road at South Carolina. I mean, I think they could be if they played, but they're not. Florida is, and Miami is also home underdog this weekend to Notre Dame, and I actually like Notre Dame in that one as well. So I've been on a pretty good hot streak with my picks here, and that's something to look forward to there. Key stat. Did I already give the key stat this week on Notre Dame-Miami?
I believe so.
Okay. For those who didn't hear it last week, Notre Dame is number one in explosive rushes in the nation. I think Miami is like 115th. So this is basically like being a fly ball pitcher in Yankee Stadium. It's just not a good combination of things to do. So that's why I like Notre Dame in that game. We'll see if Miami can stop the run, which they really have not done a very good job of all year, including against Florida State. Let's play a little game here. We got to fill a little bit of time here. I'm going to ask you, what will be on your primary TV and what will be on your secondary TV in certain windows here? All right?
Yes.
Okay, so at noon we have Michigan State, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, NC State at Boston College, Arkansas, LSU, Florida, South Carolina, VaTech, Georgia Tech, and those are your noon slate. I think for me it would be Michigan State, Ohio State by far on TV1, and then on TV2 probably Oklahoma State, Iowa State. And if I had a rotator, I might throw a little VaTech, Georgia Tech, just for the ACC flair. I don't really feel like watching Florida, even though I think that we'll lose South Carolina.
Yeah, main TV, complete agreement. I will probably, actually, on the second one, would have South Carolina, Florida, just because I want to watch that. And Florida has been the only thing that's made me feel worth a damn all year so far. So if I could somehow continue to... live vicariously through some of Florida's pain and anguish that at least numbs some of the feeling that we've had to experience when the eyes have turned a little closer to home.
Now, I got to tell you, you do catch a bit of a break with the 3:30 time slot here, right? Like, everybody's going to watch Florida State, or everybody listening to this show will watch Florida State Clemson. But if you want to do the dual TV thing, you can have Georgia Auburn on at the same time, or... You know, you could have Georgia Auburn and flip to Iowa Wisconsin in case Iowa is pulling an upset or something. Mm-hmm. But there's not a whole lot of good 3:30. So you don't if you're at a party with your friends who are non-Noles, you won't look like a huge jerk asking for one of the TVs to be put on Florida State Clemson. It's not like there's a bunch of other good games right now that you try to be, you know, preempting here. So that's kind of a good stroke of luck there. And then in the night games, I guess Bama at Mississippi State. I mean, but ultimately, the two I want to watch are Notre Dame, Miami, and then TCU, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the Notre Dame, Miami game is the game that I'm looking forward to the most this weekend. So that will be must watch TV for me. And hopefully, you know, maybe Saturday feels a little better if you start your day with a Florida loss and end it with Miami not having a zero in the loss column for the season by the end of the night.
I like it, man.
Yeah, all right. That's what we're reduced to at this point, bud. We're just looking for other people's failures to make us feel just a wee bit better.
Oh, man. This season. Good God. We're going to have to cover signing day soon, dude, with like nothing going on.
Yeah. Well, the new signing day, that'll be fascinating in of itself, see what a accelerated or early signing day is going to mean and what it'll mean for this team and this program where it is right now. So. A lot of things to look forward to, and a lot of things that you know, Florida State's just in some rough waters right now, and you got to find a way to try to get out of them and get to a more, you know, more even place of operation.
They got to figure out something. By the way, Ingram, 6 new 5-star reviews. Not recruits. I know people heard me say 5-star and then the R word, and they were like, what? No. 5-star reviews, that brings us up to 866 5-star reviews total on iTunes. That's awesome. People seem to like us a lot there, and keep hitting us up with those and keep letting our sponsors know how much you enjoy the show, and we'll keep this train rolling.
This concludes this episode of the Nolcast. Make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, write us at thenolcast@gmail.com, or tweet us at Nolcast. So if you've been keeping track at home, my record for predicting games is actually the same exact record as Florida State, because I picked the Noles to win every game. And you're going to have to put me down for another loss this round, bro, because I'm picking the Noles to win. I have no dignity. So I will cry from my lonely mountaintop for everyone to either hear or ignore me. The Noles will win this game 27-24. Book it. Don't book it. Don't lose your money. But they're going to win, I think. Today's date is November 10th, 2017. For Ingram Smith and Bud Elliott, this is your fearless producer, Judson Wright, signing out. We'll be right back.